KNOM Update News, I'm Eva DeLapp. It's 9:02. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council is holding meetings this week in Juneau, with the council set to discuss Gulf of Alaska king salmon bycatch, Bering Sea Canyon activities and management, and the Observer Program. Some representatives from Native communities from the southeast up to Nome will take part in a rally tomorrow. Rally participant Art Ivanoff from Unalakleet is in Juneau and says their goal is for policymakers from the Management Council to the Board of Fish to Alaska's congressional delegation to take notice.
We're very much concerned about the Chinook salmon stocks. We're concerned about bycatch and the state of our oceans, and we wanted to figure out ways to work across the board and maybe develop some network between Alaska Native organizations and some NGOs to press the issue, to really let them know that they're on notice on the decisions that they make and the impact they're having on our way of life.
The Magnuson-Stevens Act is up for reauthorization this year. It's set to expire in September. That act is the primary law governing fisheries in federal waters in the United States. Ivanoff says with reauthorization, Alaska Native organizations and subsistence users have been excluded from decision-making processes.
So we've been pressing for inclusion and processes to help frame those questions. And I think the message is to the Board of Fish, the Council, as well as the congressional delegation, the state legislature, and the allocation of resources.
Participants in the rally will focus primarily on fishery issues, specifically Alaskan king salmon. Numbers for Chinook are down throughout the entire state. Ivanoff says there are many variables.
But of all the variables out there, bycatch is the one thing we can control. So I guess, that's the other message, is just putting the policymakers on notice about our collective concerns.
Ivanoff says the rally is mainly to unite the Native voice. A hope the organizers have is to let Native people, subsistence users, and Native organizations know they can push for inclusion in decisions being made that affect a way of life in rural parts of Alaska. The subsistence rally will begin at 9:30 tomorrow at the waterfront in Juneau. The Federal Emergency Management Agency toured Galena this weekend to estimate how much monetary damage was done by this year's flood. State of Alaska Emergency Management Specialist George Coyle says if FEMA determines damage is significant enough to declare Galena a federal disaster area and President Obama approves, the federal government would pay 75% of the total estimated damage cost, while the state of Alaska would foot the other 25%. KIYU reports FEMA will likely make its ruling within the next 7 to 10 days. The state is reporting progress in Galena as the community cleans up from major flooding. The ice jam flood earlier this month damaged and destroyed many homes and other buildings, forcing the evacuation of most of the village's 400 residents. KUAC's Dan Brost reports the State Division of Emergency Management says power has been restored to most areas of Galena, fuel service has resumed, and the local public radio station is back on air. The road to Galena's landfill remains impassable, and a hazardous materials team is working on contamination assessment and cleanup. Most evacuated Galena residents remain in Fairbanks, Anchorage, or other communities. Galena's boarding school, a former Air Force facility inside a diked area protected from the flood, is serving as a shelter for residents who did not evacuate, as well as housing emergency responders. State Response Manager Claude Denver says the school facility, which includes rooms and a dining hall, is ideal. The dorms can handle over 300 people, depending on the number staying in each room. Officials are stocking the school with sufficient supplies to support the return of flood evacuees. City and tribal leaders plan to implement a return plan this week when local conditions are deemed safe. Nome City Council has finally decided on a location for the city's future cultural center. The Richard Foster Building, which will house Nome's library and a regional history museum, will be built on the green space at Anvil City Square. Mayor Denise Michaels.
Nice job, Council. It took a while.
After months of discussion, the City Council finalized the Cultural Center's location at last night's work session and meeting. The Council was considering four other possible Cultural Center locations, including lots on Stedman, Front Street, and Federal, the Sitnasauk Building, and the Armory. The Council considered many factors, including closeness to Front Street, safety, and availability of parking, but the museum location decision ultimately came down to smart finances. According to project architect Brian Meisner of ECI, out of the five final Richard Foster building location options, Anvil Square supports the most square footage within the $15.9 million budget, a capital source which is getting less bang for its buck as time passes due to inflation. At the work session, Nome resident Jason Reifheimer expressed concern that building a museum at Anvil Square would take away an important public play space from children. City Manager Josie Banky replied that the City of Nome is already planning on replacing the Anvil Square Park with green space and a playground at Stedman Field, the lot with the basketball court behind the Catholic Church. The city manager says they plan to start building the Stedman green space and playground this summer. Coeric CEO Melanie Banky also submitted a letter to formally include Coeric in future planning for the building. Coeric and the city have been in talks for 2 years to lease space in the Richard Foster building for Coeric's Beringia Center to showcase traditional clothing and tools from Inupiaq, St. Lawrence Island Yupik, and Yupik peoples and communities. The city council will respond to her request for formal inclusion at the next meeting. With the location of the cultural museum and library settled, architect Brian Meisner of ECI says the next step will be to finalize the budget. According to the current timeline, construction on the new Richard Foster building will start next spring. The price of gold in New York has risen $13.20, trading at $1,374.80. Silver has risen 30 cents, trading at $21.75. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is about an hour late. It's expected to arrive at 9:43 and depart at 10:45. It's 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.